Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad. And we're joined by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. How you doing, Pete?
Hello, Chris. I got spotted because of you.
You got spotted?
I got spotted. I was playing five-a-side football. Actually, that's a lie. It was nine-a-side football. And I turned up. And I occasionally get spotted for the football podcast I do because that's weirdly popular. Never get spotted for my absolute radio. Never get spotted for anything else. I just get spotted for the football podcast. But this, in this case, the old I started playing football and a bloke jogged over who was on the opposing side and basically said, are you Pete Donaldson? I went, yeah, I am. Thinking he was, because we were playing football, it was very much a football situation. We said, oh, just got back from Japan. Big fan of Abroad in Japan, and I saw you in Natsuki the movie. So, finally, bit of recognition.
No way. You've got the fame you deserve. You're in the big leagues now. I knew it. Yeah. I knew it would happen.
Remember when we
in
went...
In the movie, fame fortune.
Remember when we went to Borderline in London's Charing Cross District and we got a bit drunk and I got spotted for the football ramble and you got spotted for Abroad in Japan. So it was very much one all.
Yeah, it was a bit of a competition.
Yeah.
That you instigated. Yeah.
I did not instigate that. You got spotted first and then I got spotted. I was like, phew. Christmas thing. Oh, I'm such a worm. Always, an unpopular worm.
It's quite fun. I do. I mean, I depending on what mood I'm in, it can either go badly or goodly. Goodly is just a word I made up. But if I'm in Tokyo, I'm in a bad mood. It's not fun because like people be like, "Oh my god, Chris," and I'll be like, "Oh, get away from me! I'll eat you."
I got things to
and
do.
So it really is dependent on your mood. But I do enjoy it. I've got a lot more accustomed to it now, but yeah, it's certainly a weird experience when people spot you, especially as you know I spend a lot of time filming out in the countryside. I'm in my room a lot editing. So there feels like a massive disconnect between making the videos and meeting the viewers. So it's always a weird experience.
Hugely,
but I'm glad you finally got recognized. I knew it would happen. I'm so glad.
I was once in Los Angeles, and I might have mentioned this in the podcast before, but again, the football, it's because podcasts, I mean, I understand why you would get recognised because people know your face and how you speak, etc. But obviously, with podcasts, it's very much a passive medium, and people listen to us, people listen to the other podcasts that I do and the radio show while I'm doing the washing up or while I'm walking around or while I'm doing something else. So they wouldn't necessarily know what I looked like. I was once in Los Angeles, admittedly at a soccer match, and a policeman with a gun came over and said, hey, man, no Geordies allowed. If you're not familiar with Geordies, they're people from the northeast of England. I'm not a Geordie. I'm actually from Hartlepool. I'm actually a monkey hanger, which I'm sure we've gone into before on this show. Because in the Napoleonic Wars, we conducted a beachfront trial for a monkey who couldn't speak in English because he was a monkey. We thought it was a French spy, so we hung it. And so we're known as the idiots who hung a monkey, and that's the Hartlepool. That is the Hartlepool...
stained, you know, just, the reputation of all folks from Hartlepool forever.
We are idiots. And so... yeah, so in that situation, it's all very strange. But, yeah, where was I? Oh, yeah, I was in LA, and he went, no Georgia Lau. And I went, oh, my God, you listen to the ramble? And he went, yeah, man, love the show, man. And I was like, that man's got a gun. And then I tried to grab it off
that's
him.
That's so random that out there someone would, I don't know, that seems weird. I might, because of your football podcast, I just assume everyone's British. I don't know why.
Well, it's
Football
it's,
Ramble seems like a very British podcast. It's something so like, it's amazing to think that happened.
Yeah, it's something like 25%, 25% America, maybe 10% elsewhere in the world. And yeah, it is mainly British, but yeah. I don't know why the Scots listen, because we never talk about Scottish football. Anyway, where were we?
So today is a fax machine special. We've got quite a lot of questions from you guys piled up in the inbox, so we thought we'd go through quite a few. The first two questions actually correspond to Pete and his appearance in general and just Pete. The first question is, hey, Chris and Pete. Pete, I had a dream. Well, that's never a good way to start a question. Pete, I had a dream where I was on YouTube and stumbled across what seemed like a parody channel. The title of the channel was A Pete in Japan. Admittedly, shit, I know. Which brings me to my question of, if you go to Japan every year, why not start a hobbyist channel? Show the viewers your drunken shenanigans and do it all whilst expanding the Abroad in Japan brand. It could be the start of a YouTube empire. Billy!
Yeah. Can you really imagine my incredible filming techniques? Just, you know, filming everything in portrait. Maybe I should do like a really horrible Snapchat experience, because then they disappear after a few hours, don't they? So, yeah. Get on my Snapchat channel. What is my Snapchat? I think it's Pete Donaldson 1. I think that might be it. So maybe when I'm in Japan, Pete Donaldson 1 will be the place to be when it comes to Snapchat.
You disgust me. Plugging your own Snapchat in the Abroad Japan podcast.
I mean, who uses Snapchat?
Your
really?
Instagram stories are already bad enough.
Oh yeah, I don't think I've ever publicised even my Twitter page, Chris, on this thing. But yeah, no, that's a terrible idea. I think I would ruin Chris's reputation.
I love the way that that Billy just assumed that if you did do a hobbyist channel in Japan, you would be showing the viewers drunken shenanigans.
I know,
not
right?
Culture, no. Not food. Just drunken shenanigans.
I get enough.
Billy is spot on there as to what would happen.
I hate
on your
this
channel.
Reputation. Actually, I don't. I don't necessarily like the reputation, but you can't argue against truth, can you? Really, you can't argue against that. So,
if you did have a channel, would you call it A Pete in Japan, or what would you call it?
A pit, well, it'd probably be like, what was it? Top London DJ. Top London DJ in Japan. Oh, I'm surprised.
Certified Japanophile.
I'm surprised Natsuki hasn't.
That could be a winner.
I'm surprised Natsuki hasn't branched out and, you know, made his own t-shirts and stuff like that. Actually, did I see something about this? Did I see something on Twitter about Natsuki starting something? I don't know. Or have I gone mad? Or is it a fan club?
I think you've gone mad. He's got a fan club, but he actually started his own Instagram. Last week, just putting up pictures of him looking a bit. The photos, I mean, I think he's taken them himself. And they're not particularly flattering, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's just him sort of looking grumpy and just tired and worn out. Oh. And one of them, he's just like grabbed his cat, and his cat looks really scared. Just like there.
My breakfast.
Yeah, go and look at Natsuki's Instagram, ladies and gentlemen, and you never know what you might find.
Well, the depressed cat. My breakfast.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Oh God, there's another one for me as well. Chris, you're getting...
Yes, you're famous.
You're getting co-opted here, mate. Hey, Chris and Pete. So when watching Natsuki the movie, which I loved, it was so strange to see Pete matched up to his voice, which I'm used to from the podcast, but I hadn't seen him in a video before, and my question to both of you is this. When you meet fans or listeners, are you what they expect? Thanks for the great content. Hayley from the UK/USA. Do people sort of go, you are exactly... Because people see you in video all the time, don't they? So they must know that that's... Do they expect you to be all sarky all the time and horrible like your public persona?
Obviously, when I meet a viewer, I'm not a complete dick like I really am in real life. I'm like in nice mode. Like,
nice mode.
If you bump into me in the street in Akihabara, as happened 2 weeks ago by a lovely couple... they were like, oh, yeah, we watched your videos. And I was like, oh, great, what are you guys doing? Where are you going on holiday? What's going on? You know, I'd try and ask them what they're doing. Mm. And that's the secret to not looking like a dick when you're a YouTuber being spotted. Mm. You know, you have to make it about the other person, get to know them a little bit.
Okay.
I think.
I always
had, and I enjoy it. Yeah. I really enjoy it. And I had a weird experience. I was in a blacked out SUV in Tokyo again 2 weeks ago. We stopped at a red light, and somehow someone walking down the street saw I was in the car and like knocked on the window. And I was like, "How is that possible? How can you see
in a
through the window?
SUV. What I like about it is that your personality is like you know bedroom documentary maker, bedroom kind of filmer of things, and then somebody who spots you in a blacked out SUV. It's all an act. He's on Roppongi Hills, bloody Hilton. He's always up there. He's a disgrace.
With my team of my private military bodyguards.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that was actually for a documentary on Singapore TV, which I mentioned about eating some insects, and they drove us around in an SUV, and I got spotted. That was weird.
Beautiful.
To answer the question, though, I think I don't really know what I was expecting from Pete. I had actually heard Pete's voice before, because I used to have Absolute Radio on back when I was a university student. I just had the radio on in the kitchen playing Absolute Radio, and your voice often came on it. And so it was a bit weird when you called us into the studio. I didn't know who you were, but when I sat down and started talking to you, I realised, oh, it's that guy. He used to be on in my kitchen like 4 or 5 years ago.
You
weren't what I expected.
People always think I sound quite old. And I mean, I'm old, but I don't necessarily look as old as people think. I'm like about 60 because I've got a northern voice. Yeah. I sort of talk a bit like this, and that's like an old person's voice.
I think people. I remember I showed someone said after Natsuki the movie, a friend said to me, "Oh, Pete Donaldson looks all right. He doesn't look too bad." I don't know why. You
awful.
Just sound awful.
I just sound
like
a big,
maybe people listen to you and think,
horrible,
oh my God, what a
drunk
horrible
cigarette
person.
Of a man. Disgraceful. I've been working out, Chris. I'm a fine figure of a man. I'm sure you, when we do our
cycling.
You are dressed
excessively well.
Whenever I travel, I always put a suit on for the flight because if you're going to die, you want to die in a suit, don't you? I always sort of travel. I always try and dress up for flights because you never know. I don't know why I'm interested. You never know. I just think it's a nice thing to do because, you know, you're literally flying through the sky. That's worth dressing up for, isn't it? And whenever I go to Japan,
is it?
I try and bring as many suits as I can carry with me because just simply the British and the Americans and the Australians, whenever you're in a bar, they've always got cargo shorts on. They're always wearing a vest because it is warm and it is humid. Just wear a linen suit. Just wear a linen jacket, normal trousers. Don't have to go crazy. Just don't dress like an oik.
I like the way you wear a suit on airplanes because of your lack of faith in air travel. It seems to be the case.
It seems to
sound like you think the plane's going to go down. If you're going to go down, you might as well be wearing a suit.
I fly a lot and I think it's nice. I think it's fancy. It's a fancy thing to do. So I wear fancy clothes. Or about as fancy as I get. Just buy a cheap suit from Top Man and buy it too small so it looks fitted. Fashion tip.
It's a Hartlepool thing.
It's a Hartlepool thing, yeah. We're like those Nigerian guys who have a real kind of sense of style, except we don't have a sense of style, but we know where Burton's is. Teresa Wilson has here we go. Look, there's another one involving me. Hey, guys, thanks so much for the podcast. My question is, am I the new Natsuki? Am I taking over your channel? When Pete visits in October, will we see him in one of Chris's videos? I think you two on a bar crawl. Could be great fun. I mean, it depends on how far through his little cycle he's got, isn't it? Really? The cycle?
It is. If I make the cycle at all, to be honest. I would like to put you in a video, though.
Yeah, we'll have to do something.
I would. I'd like to have you at the finishing line.
With a...
wherever I end up.
With a tape. We're like me and Natsuki on either side of a tape, and you cycle through it, and it gets caught in your spokes, and you fall off and scrape your knee.
And die.
A fine finish.
It'd be good to have you turn up in one of your snazzy suits and talk about things and see your forehead. It'd be great.
My heroic forehead, and I'll be eating, and I'll be eating a big packet of Coolish ice cream. It's delicious.
Of course, you bloody will.
Of course, I bloody will.
I wouldn't expect anything less. Hey, Chris and Pete, I've been a fan of your channel and pod for a good while now, and I've developed an interest in the JET program, the Japan Exchange Teaching Program. And I was wondering, what happens if you're rejected from JET? Are you allowed to apply again, or is that it for you? Thanks, guys. Keep it up. I'm absolutely loving it. Adam. Well, Pete, this is
very much my fault. You got rejected from Jet. If you get rejected from Jet, what you do is you work for local government in a housing quangor for 5 years, and then you become a radio DJ. So that's how that works, Adam. And there's no deviation from that path at all. So thank you for your email. You're allowed to apply again. You're allowed to
Pete Donaldson's footsteps, become a radio DJ, and live happily ever after.
You're allowed to apply again, aren't you, Shuley? I mean, that'd be crazy if they didn't allow people to do that.
Yeah, of course you can apply again.
Yeah. Grow a beard.
That'd be horrible if you couldn't apply again. But you can. You can apply again and do it. If you do get rejected, don't give up. Don't give up on your dreams, like Pete did.
Oh, God, I mean, like, and I, like, the fact that you say JET, the Japanese Exchange Teaching Program, I don't even think I knew what that acronym meant. And it is an acronym. It's not an initialization. There is a difference. I don't even know what JET stood for, apart from...
I never asked, though. Did you get on the interview? Did you get to the interview stage?
Yeah, I went to the interview. I got the interview and embarrassed myself so because I was very shy. So my advice is don't be a shy. Shyness is nice. Shyness can stop you from doing the things that you want to
do.
Don't
be a shy.
As Stephen Patrick Morrissey once sang, a problematic individual with things he says, but some of his lyrics are quite prescient.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
There you go.
Thoroughly wash your manly body.
Wow.
There's one from Arsam. Hello, Arsam. Hey, Chris and Pete. I was also wondering about whether you think it's better to travel to Japan alone for your first time or with friends.
Mm.
Whoa, it's a different one, isn't it?
I've done both, and if it's your first time, I'd definitely say friends. I think all travel is instantly improved by having at least one friend. I like to travel with just... I think it's best when it's just with one person, actually.
Really?
You can have a lot more flexibility, right? In where you go, what you do, who you hang out with, as opposed to a big group. Yeah, I'll take a friend. But Japan is a good place to experience alone. But I think, I don't know, what you've experienced both, haven't you, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, my first one was I went to Los Angeles, met a couple of friends out there, then went to Japan by myself. But then I kind of met up with someone who kind of helped me. A New Yorker lass who lives in Shinjuku, and she sort of showed me around, and she was incredibly generous with her time. So I didn't really do it like that. But what I always find is that you can go with like 2, 3, 4 people. It depends on what their temperaments are like, really. If they're gone for the first time, they haven't got a bloody clue what's going on. So to be quite frank, they are going to be quite flexible because that, you know, no one's got a really strong opinion of what they want to go and see. If they've got a really strong opinion, it's usually I want to go to the I'm trying to think of one of the big animes. What's that big anime guy? Is it Miyazaki? I want to go to the Miyazaki Museum or something. Or I want to go this. Oh, I want to go that. If they've got like a really strong opinion about, you know, the so-called in inverted commas geek culture, they'll have a strong opinion about where they want to go in that sense. But I think if you've got mates who are quite easy going, they're quite easy going. But I mean, you can do it alone. I always find that even if I have a day by myself where I go, look, lads, I'm just going to go and, you know, I'm going to ride the circle Yamanote Airline round and just, you know, get off at different stops and have a mooch around. That lasts around 2 hours and I'm like, I'm a bit lonely. I'm like, what's everyone else doing?
Yeah. It's nice of a mix, isn't it? I think actually all my most profound memories, though, most profound memories from my time in Japan have always been alone, more or less. Like I've been sitting on the top of a mountain looking out across rice fields, or I've been walking through a street in Osaka at night wondering what's going down.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think actually my most profound moments I've usually been alone. But at the same time, if I was to go on a trip next week and I had to choose between going with a friend or going alone, I would go with a friend. I think it's just a bit better. It's a bit more fun. It's just awkward walking into a restaurant on your own, like on your own sometimes. And, just, I don't know.
Please.
You can do more.
Yeah, exactly. And if you've got any, if you've got a propensity for feeling lonely at any point, I think Japan's quite a hard place to get on with anyway, just because of the language barrier. But I do find that a holiday alone anywhere other than Japan would be a little bit easier. But Japan, I think you can get a little bit lonely there, to be quite frank, because it is.
Definitely.
Very strange.
Well, yeah, especially in Tokyo. I know a lot of people in Tokyo who are a little bit depressed because it's hard. You walk down the street, you're surrounded by hundreds of people, but no one will ever talk to you. It's very rare for a stranger to strike up a conversation with you. You know, it's not like in the... I remember after living in Japan for 2 years, I went back to the UK for a 2 or 3 week holiday for the first time in years, and I was shocked that I could talk to people at cashiers or people that were like running a store. I'd just go into a shop. I remember going into a sweet shop somewhere near Canterbury and talking for like 20 minutes to the person that worked in the sweet shop, who was clearly quite visibly scared that I was talking to them so much, because I was just so excited at the concept of talking to somebody that works in a shop. Because in Japan, staff in anywhere really won't talk to you because they see it as it's bad, right? They should be working, they should be doing something productive.
Or shouting, "Sumimasen."
The only place they'll talk to you is in a bar So, yeah, that's a factor. So you can get a little bit lonely, definitely,
I see.
In that regard.
There you go. Shall we move on to...
Leighton.
Leighton Lucky.
Leighton.
Wasn't that a film? Logan Lucky. Howdy, Chris.
Logan Lucky.
Howdy, Chris and Pete. I'm here listening to the podcast on my train ride home, as usual. From your travels, what stereotypes of Japanese people have you found to be completely true, kind of true, kind of false, and flat out wrong? Thanks, as always, Leighton Lucky from Texas. A great place. Love Texas. It's up there for me.
You've been?
I've been all over the place in Texas. Love it. Done the big circle of all the big cities, but fantastic.
But you've yet to meet Leighton Lucky.
I've never been lucky enough to meet Leighton.
Stereotypes. Japanese people are shy. True or false? Have you found it to be the case?
No, they're outgoing in within themselves. When the shyness, I think, or the idea that they're shy, definitely comes from the honour and respect system, and also the fact that you don't know the language. So, oh, you're shy, aren't you?
Yeah,
because I can't speak English, mate.
What about polite? And what's another stereotype? They're very polite and hospitable.
Yeah,
I
polite.
Found that to be the case.
Polite, that's hospitable. True. Yeah, yeah. That's definitely a stereotype that endures. I think it's fair to say.
One interesting stereotype is I think a lot of people think there's a big otaku geek culture in Japan, you know, where people are obsessed with manga and anime. But it's actually very rare. I think that's the biggest misconception. I get asked a lot, you know, do a lot of people watch anime and manga in Japan? It's a lot less than you think.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't have a single Japanese friend who reads manga or anime.
Yeah.
And they openly admit to me, they're like, oh, that's a bit of a geeky thing, you know. I don't have anything against anybody who loves anime or manga, but yeah, it's a lot more rare than you'd think, in Japan.
I think we assume that because they've industrialised it in that they just produce so much of that stuff, we think that that's bigger than it is, I think it's fair to say. Like, it's not really... It really isn't. I'm always sort of surprised that people get into stuff. So there's like people... have interests like motorbikes, and if they're into motorbikes, they're really into motorbikes. They know everything about motorbikes, and they've got a beautiful motorbike, and it's just wonderfully kept. If someone's into baseball, they're really into baseball, and they've got loads of baseball
stuff. Well, Natsuki and punk rock music.
Well,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's a good example.
People are
He's
just
obsessed.
Into stuff. People are interested in what they're interested in. I've got like through that last issue from New York, she knows a couple of people who are really into. Like role play, like so these wonderfully ornate kind of tying, you know, women and men up in ropes and, you know, suspending themselves on the ceiling and stuff. These incredibly, and it sounds like a sex thing, and it probably is kind of, but
what?
This whole sort of fetish thing of tying.
When you first said that, I thought you said rope play, right?
Yeah, rope play.
And then I realised you did say rope play.
Yeah, rope
I was
play,
like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, playing like dicking around ropes and stuff, but like making these incredible constructions around the human body and hanging them from ceilings. I mean, I don't really understand what they're getting out of it, but, you know, knock yourself out, big boy. I don't care, you know, do whatever you want, but people are into stuff. They're into fetish wear and like I'm going through the things that talking to this New Yorker girl who does like contour fashion and she designs bras and stuff. So she's kind of got one foot in that. But these people who make these, you know, incredibly beautiful, they're just craftsmen and women. They're just creative people, and they don't see. They don't see, like, where we would sort of see someone painting and sort of go, oh, bit arty-farty. They don't see that. They see that as a compliment to what they do day-to-day, and they see it as an escape, and they see someone's... people are into shit, you know what I mean, a lot more. I think that's the best way of describing it. People are into
in the end,
shit.
You just gave up.
Yeah.
You just gave up describing it.
Yeah,
and
people
just
are into shit, Chris.
Absolutely. And yeah. I know what I'm going to be Googling the moment this podcast is over.
Yeah.
I'm going to be going straight for rope play.
And city pop. City pop. I'll be Googling city pop. You'll be
city
Googling
pop and rope play.
Yeah. Interesting.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa, Chris and Pete. Recently married, we thought, what better place to spend our honeymoon than Japan during cherry blossom season next year in 2019.
Lovely.
My questions for you are, number one, I'm left-handed. How does Japan feel about left-handers? Would it be rude to use chopsticks in the left hand? Do I need to start practicing right-handed chopsticks? And the second question is, I've started learning hiragana and katakana and trying to translate games and manga. Without spaces, how does one know which groups of characters are words? Arigato gozaimasu. And that's from Dias Matsumoto. I'm Japanese but grew up in America. In brackets.
It's Dias has appended a YouTube address. Is that how to pronounce Dias's name?
Dias was so worried about us mispronouncing his name, he linked a YouTube video to help us, which I actually listened to before this podcast.
Oh, good on
so
you.
I could know how to spell it, how to pronounce it. And it is Dias.
Dias.
I think.
Good. Well, I'm glad that YouTube page made an impression.
I'm glad somebody's made a video about it, to be honest.
Mm.
Someone out there felt that the time was right to make a video pronouncing the name Dias. Yes, I'm left-handed as well, Dias. And Japan doesn't really have any prejudice against left-handers, or southpaw, as they call them, as I find. It's not rude at all, and you don't need to start practicing right-handed chopsticks. What I will say is, you will experience every day, at least 56 times, people going, ah, you're left-handed, and it can be quite annoying. Although, to be fair, that's not just Japanese people, that's everyone in general. I don't know. I'm always surprised by that. I don't know why it's a big deal. I don't know why you would
really notice it, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, you're used to seeing everything in reverse anyway. I would just be like, oh, that dude's eating some ramen. I mean, why would you even notice that person is... Is using the left hand.
I mean,
hand.
It's difficult for me because I've never, for me it's just natural. But yes, you don't have to worry about it. The only thing is it can be a bit annoying when you're writing left hand because you tend to smudge the very thing you've just written as you're working your way across the page.
And I guess also with Japanese writing, you're probably using, if you're doing like kanji or something, you're probably it's a more inky pen. Like you're not generally using a biro. Would that be correct? Or am I just being
no, it's not
old
correct.
School with the calligraphy and stuff?
I think you're just special.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do vividly recall when I was learning how to write kanji, you know, you'd spend, it can be quite a big thing to just write out one kanji because you've got like 8 or 9 different strokes.
And stroke.
And I would write
really
it out, it'd be beautiful. And then I'd go on to the next letter and I'd immediately rub out or smudge the one that I just spent so much time precariously writing out. So, yeah, it's a bit annoying.
Good news. The second bit, obviously, you know what? I'd like to know this as well. Started learning hiragana, trying to translate. So without spaces, how does one know which groups of characters are words? Do you just sort of guess?
Well, it's actually not an issue at all, which sounds like me being arrogant.
Oh.
But no, it really isn't that difficult. Once you've studied basic Japanese, it's quite clear what is what. Mm. You've got 3 alphabets, right? 3 characters. You've got hiragana, katakana for foreign borrowed words, and kanji characters. And when you look at a sentence, you instantly can see what is the noun, what's the subject, what's the object. And one factor is the particles in Japanese, like wa, ga, ni, o, etc. You know, you look at a sentence, you can see where the particles are, and that makes it pretty clear. But yeah, I think once you've just studied Japanese for 6 months and you've learned a few characters, it's just quite easy. It just becomes natural to look at a sentence and know what's what. If it's katakana, odds are it's a noun, it's a word, right? It's a foreign borrowed word. If it's hiragana, it's usually a particle. Kanji characters are the ones that are used the most. But yeah, I mean, you just know. Once you've learned Japanese for a few months, you can easily look at it and it's not an issue at all. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just keep studying and you will magically find it not to be an issue after a few weeks and months of studying.
Because you start reading the word and you're like, arigato, oh, that's a word. I know that one. And then it's down.
Yeah.
And then, well, the next bit must be the next word. I always have a problem with, like, the little kind of ones that extend the sound. Like, you know when the tsu hiragana, they use it, but it's small? Or am I just being stupid?
They use that for, like, repeating the same character.
Right.
Before it. Like, gambatte. It kind of serves to enunciate the next character.
Right. So how would you say? So
it's a bit difficult to explain.
So with gambatte,
once you see it, you know how you would know. You would just look at the character and know to enunciate it a little bit more.
So gambatte, which means go on, or yeah,
yeah.
So how would that? Where would that su come in that particular hiragana order?
It would come after the ba and before the te, and so it wouldn't be gambatte, it'd be like gambatte.
Ah, okay.
It just means you have a little pause and you sort of enunciate the T sound, gambatte.
Because it's a double T. If you wrote it in English, it would be a double T, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm learning something there. Thank you, Tess. Tess?
Dias. We will cover Japanese in an upcoming podcast, so don't worry about it. We're going to cover quite a bit, because we haven't actually touched upon learning Japanese or anything, really.
We've been a bit slack
over the
last
few podcasts.
We've been a bit slack on our vocab, but never mind.
We'll make up for it.
Shall we finish?
Question's about Japanese.
Yeah.
About arigato.
Ah, yes. From Lisa Dunaway.
I'll let you read it.
All right, Lisa Dunaway from Muncie, Indiana, which I think is a beautiful word. Muncie. It's like if you brought a loaf of bread out of the oven and went, oh no, it's gone Muncy. I don't know why. It just looks like it went Muncy. Hello, Chris and Pete, or konnichiwa. Konnichiwa, Chris and Pete, because I was reading a hiragana there, because I'm a clever boy. My first question is about thanking people in Japanese. I've heard arigato, I've heard arigato gozaimasu, and I've heard arigato gozaimashita. The first time I went to Japan, when a cashier would thank me after my purchase, I would panic and just say, arigato! But the second time, I became more brave and added gozaimasu. The third time I visit, I started worrying if I should be adding some gozaimashita. But I met a drunk British expat in a konbini who said it would be weird for me to add gozaimasu or gozaimashita because a cashier was below me in status and I should only say arigato to them. As someone from the United States, it is counter to my DNA, my very DNA, to treat someone as below me in status. But I was wondering if it is actually horribly wrong of me to overly thank a cashier. Can you please clarify this for me? Take care, Lisa Dunaway. You've spoken about this before, I think, how it sounds a bit weird, or maybe I've read something about it. I think wasn't there a vote, or the Japanese people would sort of say it would be weird to go full arigato gozaimasu to the cashier rather than just a, you know, domo or a arigato.
I find a lot of people don't say anything. Me personally, I actually do say arigato gozaimashita just quickly. Yeah. You know, I mutter it just because I like manners. I want to be the nice foreigner,
nice
with lots
boy.
Of manners and etiquette.
Yeah,
nice boy.
It takes nothing, does
so
it?
I always do say arigato gozaimashita. You say gozaimashita, you say the past tense usually after some sort of transaction when one of you
has been completed,
sort of walking away. So
yeah,
so after you've paid, you just say arigato gozaimashita.
Yeah.
But I never really say arigato on its own. I never really say that. I often say domo. Domo.
Yeah, because that's right, like the least... It's weird because that's the least formal way of saying it, isn't it? Domo. Domo.
Yeah.
And
but I just find it weird saying arigato yeah. on its own. So I always say arigato gozaimasu or domo. And if you really want to say thank you just say like, hontoni arigato gozaimashita.
Hontoni.
Like that.
I really thank you. What is because I was going around the first time I went around was I was saying domo arigato gozaimashita. Or domo arigato gozaimashita, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's like
yeah, I often say
that's
that.
Like very honorific, right. Isn't it? That's like they're talking to the queen shit.
not necessarily. I mean, I tend to say I got a package today from Amazon. The guy brought it to the door. He gave me the package. I signed it off. And I went, all right, domo, arigato gozaimashita, you know, like that. It's kind of just saying, thank you, cheers, thank you, like that.
Okay.
So it's fine, you know. It's more about the way you say it, I think.
What does hontoni mean again?
If you go, really.
So it's like really? It accentuates.
Really, thank you.
It accentuates. Hontoni sexy.
Yeah. Like, I think after we finished Natsuki the movie.
Boku wa hontoni sexy.
After we finished Natsuki the movie. Natsuki was kind of grateful and sort of said, "Ah, goodness, hontoni arigato gozaimasu." He's like really happy for the film being made.
Bless him.
So yeah, it's very nice.
There's very few people.
So that's the rule of thumb.
There's very very few people who would get films made about them. I imagine. Can I have one? Can I have a question with words and stuff? Yeah. My free Japanese lesson of the week. Jamatane and jamata. Is jamata just a shortening, just a see you later, rather than a goodbye?
Yeah, so ja is a shortened version of dewa. It kind of means like, right then. And so, right then.
See you later. So jama, was it just jama?
No, ja matane.
Oh, ja matane.
Like,
yeah, so
I'll see you again.
So
yeah.
Ja matane means see you again. The shortening of that, jamata, that's all right, isn't it? Jamata.
Yeah, it's no problem.
It's
more colloquial to say, to add like ne on the end of it. It's a bit more friendly.
A
bit more friendly and natural.
I see.
Jamatane.
I was wearing a Japanese football shirt when I was playing football. The same football match with that guy who came up and said he'd seen me on Natsuki.
See
me on Natsuki. Big pylon. Ugh. Big sexy pylon. He was already smoking a cigarette, post-coital. And it was a Venezuelan chap, and he was a little Venezuelan guy, and he spotted my shirt, and we had some holiday Japanese conversation. It was nice little chat. with a Venezuelan man. South America, loads of Japanese people, aren't there?
There are. I don't know why. I think, yeah, I don't really know why. I think in the 19th or 20th century, the Japanese government sent lots of Japanese workers over to South America. Mm. I'm not sure why. I'm not going to pretend like I know. Mm. But yeah, there are lots of workers went over, and yeah, there's still some sort of connection there between, I think, Brazil and Japan.
I think the
as a result,
I think Peru is the first. I think Peru was the first big developed nation that had a foreign prime minister or something like that. It was he was a Japanese guy. It was the first time. Because obviously Peru's got a massive Japanese population. I think the biggest Japanese population outside of Japan is Brazil. Big old country, though. Big old country.
Yeah,
there's room.
Yeah.
There's room.
You wouldn't have never thought that, would you?
It's weird, isn't it? Like, you don't see...
Someone put a gun to your head and went, right, where do you think Japan has... Where do you think has the largest population of Japanese expats outside Japan? And you'd go, probably America. Mm. And then, bang, you'd get shot because it's Brazil. Although it might not be, I don't know. Don't
call me
out
on that.
Probably is America, to be honest. Last question of the day. Hi, Chris and Pete. I've been a big fan of Abroad in Japan for a while now, and you actually inspired me to do a Japanese degree.
Ooh.
Wow, that's cool. But this question is probably more likely to apply to Pete.
Oh.
You seem to love pubs, Pete, and beer just as much as me, and I was wondering, if I ever bumped into you in the street, what would you think about going for a quick pint? Sapa or beer, obviously. I'd love to hear that smooth accent of yours in person. Thanks, and keep the great podcast coming. I love the way... I don't know who sent that in, name-wise. I love the way that's aimed at you. He thanks me for inspiring to do a Japanese degree and then offers the prospect of beer to you and you alone, Pete Donaldson.
I am a friendly
gratitude
boy.
For
and you, your whole thing is like, you know, a little bit cheeky, a little bit acerbic. I think he's scared of your intellect, Chris, but mine is manageable. My level of intelligence, manageable. He ain't going to be scared.
You do have a smooth accent.
But fine. I mean, to be honest, I do five different podcasts, and occasionally when people come over to London, they do sort of go, all right, Pete, let's have a drink then. And I'm like, there's only 7 days in the week. I can only drink on two of them because I work in the evening, so... You know, I can't be drinking beer all the time. That'd be madness. Even though my reputation as a legendary boozy Japanese drinker is second to none. It's just simply because I'm on holiday, you see. If I lived in Japan, I don't like drinking during the week. I never drink at home. But when I'm in Japan, I'm a boozy, boozy boy. Nope, never drink at home. Good boy.
So there you have it. Pete wouldn't drink with you.
I would drink with you. I'm just saying...
Nice person.
I'm just saying that it has been asked before and I haven't necessarily taken anyone up on it. But maybe in this case I will.
If you do bump into Pete or I, do say hello.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
Hello.
I don't think... I mean, if I look angry, probably avoid me. You'll know what mood I'm in by the face, my facial expression.
Are you talking to me
as I'm
now?
Walking down the street. Pete always smiles, though. Pete's always happy.
I don't. I have a resting witch face. It's dreadful. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll wrap things up for now, though, guys. If you have some more questions to send into us, don't hesitate to drop us a line at abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next time, same time next week, next Wednesday. But for now, no matter where you are out there in the big wide world, have a great week. And if you see Pete, give him a hug. Give him a hug. Annoy him. Prod him. Harass him.
Arigato gozaimashita.
Do it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.